And the people of Musa made in his absence out of their ornaments the image of a calf for worship. Now we find that they made a calf out of gold. They gathered together all their jewelry, all their adornments, and they made a calf out of gold. This calf actually symbolized their love of this world. All that they held so precious that they worshipped it above Allah. They revered it above Allah. It had a sound as if it was mooing. Did they not see that it could neither speak to them nor guide them to the way? They took it for worship. وَكَانُوا ظَالِمِينَ And they were wrongdoers. In this age of materialism, we don't worship stone idols anymore, but we worship designer things. We worship cults. We worship our worldly goods. For us, those are more important. Striving for another car is more important than reading the Quran. Allah says they took it for worship and they were wrongdoers. They gave to this calf, they gave to these worldly things the importance that they should have kept for Allah. So they were zalimeen, because a zalim is one who deprives someone of his right and gives it to someone else. What does Allah tell us in the Quran? مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ They did not appreciate Allah as was his right. What is Allah's right? اِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ Fear Allah as is his right, that he should be remembered and not forgotten, that he should be thanked and not denied, and that he should be obeyed and not disobeyed. How many of us are fulfilling Allah's right? How many of us are even trying to fulfill Allah's right? We need to analyze ourselves. And when they regretted and saw that they had gone astray, they repented and said, If our Lord have not mercy upon us and forgive us, we shall certainly be of the losers. And when Musa returned to his people, angry and grieved, he said, What an evil thing is that which you have done during my absence. Did you hasten and go ahead as regards the matter of your Lord? Because what these people had started saying was, Oh, Musa has forgotten all about us, so let's just find a God for ourselves. And he threw down the tablets and seized his brother by the hair of his head and dragged him towards him. Harun said, O son of my mother, indeed the people judged me weak and were about to kill me. So do not let my enemies rejoice over me, nor put me amongst the people who are wrongdoers. Musa said, O my Lord, forgive me and my brother, and admit us into your mercy. وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ For you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. Indeed, those who took the calf rose from their Lord, and humiliation will come upon them in the life of this world. You'll have noticed that Allah doesn't say who took the calf for worship. That's been added on by the translator of the Quran. It's as if it's beneath Allah's dignity to even mention that they were worshipping this calf, because there is no comparison between the calf and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let's take a look at our own lives. There is, or there definitely would be in our lives too, something that we love more than Allah. Something that keeps us away from Allah. Like women who say, Oh, I can't pray because at that time my child starts crying. Let him cry for a little while, at least read the fars. So we need to think about what is the calf in our lives. What is it that we are setting up in comparison with Allah? لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ Of whom Allah has Himself said that there is none like Him, there is nothing like Him. What rivals have we set up for Allah? Because Allah says, those who took the calf, who chose something else over Allah, wrath from their Lord and humiliation will come upon them in the life of this world, not just in the hereafter. Thus do we recompense those who invent lies. But those who committed evil deeds and then repented afterwards and believed, indeed your Lord after that is forgiving, most merciful. Right now we still have time to repent. We still have time to analyze our priorities, to rectify our priorities. And when the anger of Musa subsided, he took up the tablets. وَفِي نُسْخَتِهَا هُدًى وَرَحْمَةً لِلَّذِينَ هُمْ لِرَبِّهِمْ يَرْهَبُونَ And in their inscription was guidance and mercy for those who fear their Lord. If we want this Quran to affect us, if we want this Quran to change us, our thinking, our actions, we need to develop fear of Allah within us. And Musa chose out of his people 70 of the best men for our appointed time and place of meeting. And when they were seized with a violent earthquake, we find that when they went up to the mountain, they all called out and said, We want to see Allah as well. And we're not going to believe in Him until we see Him. So as a result of their blasphemy, because they didn't say out of love and humility as Musa alayhi salam had said it, they said it out of arrogance. So what happened? They were seized with a violent earthquake. And Musa said, O my Lord, if it had been your will, you could have destroyed them and me before. Would you destroy us for the deeds of the foolish ones among us? ان هي الا فتنتك تضل بها من تشاء وتهدي بها من تشاء. It is only your trial by which you lead astray whom you will and keep guided whom you will. Does that mean it's Allah's fault that the responsibility rests upon Allah? No, it means that the test has come from Allah and now the choice is ours. Allah will not force any to believe. He will not force any to disbelieve. That is the meaning of free will. And Musa alayhi salam goes on to say, Anta waliyuna, you are our protector. If we can only connect ourselves to Allah, inshallah He will keep us from being led astray. What did we read in Surah Al-Baqarah? Man yakfur bittaghut wa yu'min billah faqad istamsaka bil urwati al-wusqa la infisama laha. Whoever rejects all other false gods, be they his society, his friends, his spouse, or himself, وَيُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ, whoever forges a bond with Allah, فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُسْقَى, he has formed that firm handhold, he is grasped, he is clutched on to that firm handhold, لَنْفِسَامَ لَهَا, which will never break. So we need to form that relationship with Allah. We need to connect ourselves to Allah. فَغْفِرْ لَنَا, so forgive us. وَارْحَمْنَا, and have mercy on us. Now Prophet is making this dua. Prophets are innocent of all sins. Why? To teach us that if even a Prophet is praying for forgiveness, what about us then? وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْغَافِرِينَ, for you are the best of those who forgive. And ordained for us good in this world and in the hereafter. See, this is the balanced vision of Islam. We're allowed to pray for the world, but not at the cost of the hereafter. We should pray for both. إِنَّا هُدْنَا إِلَيْكَ, certainly we have turned to you. Allah said, as to my punishment, I afflict therewith whom I will, and my mercy embraces all things. فَسَأَكْتُبُهَا لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَاتِنَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Who is that mercy reserved for? We all complain, where is Allah's mercy? Why doesn't Allah see the sufferings of the Muslims? Allah says, that mercy I shall ordain for those who are Allah conscious. And those who give zakat, in other words, it's not just talk, oh Allah knows how much I love Him and how pure my heart is. They do something. And how do they prove it? By fulfilling people's rights, by giving their zakat, by caring for the needy. And those who have certainty in our signs. Not, well, you know, I can understand part of the Quran, but there's some bits that I really can't relate to. That's not iman. That's hypocrisy. Those who follow the messenger, the prophet who can neither read nor write, whom they find written with them in the Torah and the Injil. Now we know that there were predictions pertaining to the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be found in the Torah, which the Jews just deleted, and also predictions in the Injil. For instance, we find that in the Gospel of Barnabas, there's mention of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's coming. But most conveniently, the church does not accept the Gospel of Barnabas, and it's amongst the books that they reject, and they say that these aren't accurate. So Allah says that you would find predictions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Injil and the Torah. Now Allah tells us about what it is that the Prophet has done for us. And we need to read these words with care because we have reduced the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just to this vague figure that, you know, we know he was very gentle and very kind and he had a beard and that's about it. Allah says, يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, He tells them what is right. يَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, He forbids them from that which is wrong. يُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ, He makes lawful for them all pure things. This is the positive nature of Islam. It's not a negative religion of don'ts. Like some people say Islam is don't do this and don't do that. Allah says no, it's a positive religion. He makes lawful for them the pure things. يُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ, He makes unlawful for them that which is impure. He stops us from that which is bad for us. وَيَدَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِسْرَهُمْ وَلَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ, He releases them from their heavy burdens and from the fetters that were upon them. What fetters are these? Chains of ignorance, of superstitions, of fearing people, of senseless rituals. Allah says these are chains. Free yourselves from these chains. فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ, so those who believe in Him. How do we show our iman? We all say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin. How do we show that iman? Those who believe in Him, وَعَزَّرُوهُ, those who honor Him. Now, عَزَّرُوهُ doesn't simply mean honor, it means support Him. How do we support Him? He's passed away. We support Him by supporting the message for which He gave His life. The message to which He dedicated His entire life. We support Him by carrying on this message of Islam. And Azzaruhu carries in it the meaning of deference. That when we convey this message of Islam, we do it as an honor, not as a favor that we're conferring upon Allah the Prophet. Not that we should think, oh well, you know, I'm so good that I'm actually helping Islam. No, it's an honor. Azzaruhu carries within it the meaning of deference, respect. There's a difference between the way you help your mother and the way you help your servant. How do we help our mother? With respect. How do we help our teacher? With respect. We don't act like we're doing them a favor. We treat them with deference and respect. So Azzaruhu, those who carry on his mission, realizing it's an honor for them. وَاتَّبَعُ النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ مَعَهُ And those who follow the light which has been sent down with him. It's not just talk, it's not just giving, you know, lectures and thinking you've done your duty. We have to follow it ourselves. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ It is they who are the winners. They are the ones who are truly successful. Why? Because, قُلْ Tell them, O Prophet of Allah, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ O mankind. Not O Asians or Arabs, like some people think Islam is an Arab religion. O mankind. Inni Rasulullahi ilaykum jami'a. I am sent to all of you as the messenger of Allah. To whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth? None has the right to be worshipped but He. It is Allah who gives life. It is Allah who causes death. Fa'aminu billahi wa rasulihi. Annabiyil ummi, so believe in Allah and His Messenger, the Prophet who can neither read nor write. Why does Allah keep on repeating this to remind us that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not fabricate this Quran, like some Orientalists who claim that he was taught by certain Christians. The Prophet who can neither read nor write, this message, this knowledge is directly from Allah, who believes in Allah and His words. And follow him, وَاتَّبِعُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ In order that you may be guided. Now let's take a look at ourselves. What is our definition of Iman in the Prophet ﷺ? We all like to attend milads, where mushrikana naats are recited, where everyone stands up religiously because of the salam, and they say, oh, the Prophet is passing by. And we think, oh, how much we love the Prophet ﷺ. What has Allah said over here? Follow him. How do we follow him? We don't even know what his life was all about. We need to study his sunnah. We need to negate those people who claim, well, we don't know which ahadith are authentic and which ahadith are not. All the ahadith were burnt. I myself heard someone say this. You know, all the ahadith were burnt, and 200 years later, they came up with this collection of false ahadith, na'uzubillah. There's a whole science called ilmul ahadith, usulul hadith, how you deduce which ahadith are accurate, and there's a treasury out there. That was the purpose of sending the Prophet of Allah. So people should know it is possible to live this Quran. Hazrat Aisha was once asked about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's behavior. And she said, Kana khuluquhu al-Quran. His behavior was this Quran. He wasn't just saying one thing and practicing another thing. He showed us how it is possible to live your life by the Quran. And that was his importance. وَاتَّبِعُوهُ Follow him. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ In order that you may be guided. And in this day, we find people who say, oh, read the Quran yourself. You know, don't go by what the hadith say. We don't know which are correct and which are not. Read the Quran and then just figure things out for yourself. Allah says, if you want guidance, you have to follow the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of the people of Musa, there is a community who lead the men with truth and establish justice therewith. And we divided them into 12 tribes. We revealed to Musa when his people asked him for water, saying, Strike the stone with your stick, and there gushed forth out of it 12 springs. Each group knew its own place for water. We shaded them with the clouds, and sent down upon them manna and the quail, saying, Eat of the good things with which we have provided you. وَمَا ظَلَمُونَا At the end of the day, when we disobey Allah, مَا ظَلَمُونَا Allah says they did not wrong us. Like people say, oh, I'm angry with Allah, so I will not pray. It makes no difference to Allah. وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ They were actually wronging themselves. And when it was said to them, Dwell in this town and eat therefrom wherever you wish and say, O Allah, forgive our sins and enter the gate prostrate. We shall forgive you your wrongdoings. We shall increase the reward for those who do good. But those among them who did wrong changed the word that had been told to them. So we sent on them a torment from the sky in return for their wrongdoing. وَاسْأَلْهُمْ عَنِ الْقَرْيَةِ الَّتِي كَانَتْ حَاضِرَةَ الْبَحَرِ And ask them about the town that was by the sea when they transgressed in the matter of the Sabbath. when their fish came to them openly on the Sabbath day, and did not come to them on the day they had no Sabbath. Thus we tested them, for they used to rebel against Allah's command. What story is this? This is a very important and a very relevant story for us. There was this town by the sea, and it was a fishing village. Now what happened was that for the Jews, they were not allowed to work at all on Saturdays. They were not even allowed to kindle a fire in their homes. It was a complete holiday. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested them. How? That on Saturdays, there would be an abundance of fish in the sea. So obviously they'd look at them and they'd feel tempted and they'd say, if only we were allowed to catch these fish, you know, we could have benefited so much. And on the other days, the fish would not come in such abundance. Now what happened was, finally a group of them could bear it no longer, so they came up with a plot. And what they decided to do was, they would spread the nets on Friday night and collect them on Sunday morning. The nets would be lying there, so the fish would come inside the nets and then be trapped over there, and then they'd pick up the nets on Sunday morning. And they'd say, no, no, we're not doing anything haram. What happened to them? Allah says, we tested them, for they used to rebel against Allah's command. Now, how did their people react when they saw these sinners amongst them? When a community among them said, why do you preach to a people whom Allah is about to destroy or to punish with a severe torment? The preacher said, مَعْذِرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ, in order to be free from guilt before your Lord, and perhaps they may fear Allah. What happened was that when one group of them was doing this open sin, the people became divided. Now, there were three groups in that village. There was one group of people who was trying to stop them and saying, no, no, what you're doing is wrong, and how do you think you're fooling Allah? Do you think you're deceiving Allah? And the third group was saying, why are you going to tell them? It's not going to have any benefit on them. Just leave them alone. Allah's going to punish them. Now we find in our society the same kind of three groups. There are people who are sinning, openly disobeying Allah, uncaring of the consequences. There are people who are trying to stop them. Now we need to think, whether we are amongst those who are trying to stop others from sinning, or are we like those people who pessimistically say, you know, there's no good in telling her, she's not going to reform, so just leave her matter to Allah. Allah will punish her. If Allah wished to guide her, He could have done so Himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala detested this pessimism so much that He actually quotes their comment to show us how much He dislikes it. When a community among them said, why do you preach to a people whom Allah is about to destroy? What's the good? They're not going to listen to you. You know, society is too far gone. These people are just too wicked, so just leave them alone. Now look at the answer of the preachers. مَعْذِرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ, in order that we have an excuse before our Lord, that when we stand before Allah, we can say, Allah, we did our best. See, we've confused our responsibility. We think that if telling people is not going to have any good, it's far better that we don't tell them at all. But that's not our job. لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرٍ. We're not policemen over the people. What do we have to do? إِنَّمَا عَلَيْنَا الْبَلَاغُ. We simply have to convey. After we've conveyed the message, then it's up to them. The ball is in their court. If they wish to obey Allah, fine. And if they wish to disobey Allah, at least we'll have done our job. This is what we don't understand. So we sit back pessimistically and say, no good in telling them, they're not going to listen. So why should I even waste my breath and energy? See, there's a very beautiful story we find that when Hazrat Ibrahim was about to be thrown into the fire and the people were piling up fuel for the fire, a small bird came forth with a drop of water in its beak and it released that drop of water on the fire. Then it went back and again, one drop at a time. And someone said to the bird, what are you doing? Do you think you're going to extinguish this fire? And the bird replied, I know I cannot extinguish the fire, but at least I will be able to tell my Lord that all I could take was this drop of water in my beak. Sometimes when someone starts doing something for Islam, maybe teaching some children, maybe, you know, going to school and speaking at the assembly, another sneer at him. Do you think it's going to have any effect? It's just too far gone. Just leave them alone. What you're doing is useless. And so we start becoming afflicted with self-doubts and thinking, yes, they're right. What can we do? What can I, one person, achieve? Look at the words, مَعَذِرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. It's not about whether they reform or not. It's about what I will say to my Lord. When I stand before Allah and Allah asks me, what did you do? Not what did people do or what were people like. What did you do yourself? What is another obstacle that stops us from conveying this message of Allah? Sometimes we hear people say, well, you know, I don't have any knowledge and I'd love to do something, but I don't have any knowledge. If we don't have knowledge, then we should be seeking it. So we can convey this our responsibility. Talabul ilmi fariratun ala kulli muslimin wa muslima. This hadith which we quote so often, yet very rarely act upon, the seeking of al-ilm, this knowledge, is compulsory upon every male and female Muslim. Which is not to say that our worldly education should be neglected, but we cannot forget this. And the third reason, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even told us, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Convey whatever you hear from me, even if it's one line. People say, I know so little, you know, if I were to know the whole Quran, then maybe I could teach. Even if you know one line, then convey it. If not to your children, then to your servants. If not to your servants, then to your friends. In whatever sphere of influence we possess, we should try our best. Why? مَعْذِرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. Oh Allah, I tried my best. All I could take was this one drop of water. And that's enough for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. And perhaps they will become Allah conscious. It's not for us to pass judgment. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not allowed to pass a judgment. When he was wiping his face in the battle of Uhud and saying, how can such a people succeed who have wounded the face of their Prophet? What happened? لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ. You have no right to pass judgments. Now if he was forbidden from passing judgments, what about us? We who blindly pass judgments, oh she is definitely going to hell, so just don't even bother talking to about the Quran. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. Maybe they will become Allah conscious. That guidance is in Allah's hands. We are simply the intermediaries. We are simply the messengers. And Allah says, what happened to these people now, to these three groups of people? So when they forgot the reminders that had been given to them, we rescued those who forbade evil. We saved them. They were the ones who were saved. But we seized those who did wrong with a severe torment. بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ. Because they used to disobey. Now we can see that those people who weren't doing anything to stop them were punished, and those people who were doing wrong were also punished. Why were they lumped together? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, when people see sins being done and they have the chance to express anger and they don't, we can see our friend is doing something wrong, she's gossiping openly, but we say, forget it, it's up to her, Allah will punish her for this, why should I speak up? And they don't, then Allah punishes the innocent and the guilty together. Now another obstacle that commonly keeps people from conveying this message is fear of hypocrisy. You know, I myself am not obeying Allah, so how can I tell others about it? True, we should approach this task with reverence and humility, not with arrogance, thinking, oh, I'm so pious, that's why I can teach the Quran. But believe me, this teaching is the best method of self-purification. It was Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi who once said most beautifully that when I am aware of a sin in myself, I preach about it excessively. I talk about it so much that in the end I root it out from myself. Because when you're telling people, then you become aware of it yourself. And you start analyzing your own actions. And the next time you're about to commit that action, you remember, wait a minute, I told people not to do this, how can I do it myself? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. That should be our goal, to reach taqwa and help others along that path as well. So when they exceeded the limits of what they were prohibited, we said to them, become monkeys, despised and rejected. Why were they made into monkeys? Because they had acted like monkeys, you know, seeking quibbles, trying to imitate something which they were not really doing. And remember, when your Lord declared that He would certainly keep on sending against them, till the day of judgment, those who would afflict them with a humiliating torment. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَسَرِيُّ الْعِقَابِ. Indeed, your Lord is quick in retribution. وَإِنَّهُ لَغَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. And He is forgiving, most merciful. Wherever Allah mentions His anger, He quickly reassures us about His mercy. Lest we think, oh Allah is angry and you know, I've done so many sins, there's no point in my repenting. Again and again Allah reminds us, He is forgiving and merciful for whom? For those who turn to Him and seriously reform themselves. And we have divided them up into various separate groups on the earth. Some of them are righteous and some are away from that. وَبَلَوْنَاهُمْ بِالْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ. We tried them with good and evil. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. In order that they might return. Again Allah reminds us, whatever happens in your life, analyze it. Like sometimes people see sinners who are doing really well and they think, well, she must be doing something right. You know, obviously Allah's not punishing her here. Everything that happens in our life, be it misfortune or good fortune, we need to analyze ourselves. What is the point of this test? What message am I receiving here? Because Allah says, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Some turn to Allah in good times and some turn to Allah in evil. فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ. Then after these people succeeded an evil generation, which inherited the book, but they chose for themselves the goods of this low life, saying, everything will be forgiven to us. And if again the offer of the lie came their way, they would again seize them. Was not the covenant of the book taken from them, that they would not say about Allah anything but the truth? And they have studied what is in it. And the home of the hereafter is far better for those who are Allah conscious. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ? Do you not then understand? Now this is a very important ayat. Allah is teaching us that everyone will be rewarded or punished for himself. I can't sit back and rely on the good deeds that my grandfather might have done. Allah says, there came after them a people who was evil. And they inherited the book, they had knowledge of this book, but they preferred the life of this world instead. Now we find that the Prophet ﷺ told his daughter on one occasion, O daughter of Muhammad, whatever you want in this world, take from me now, for on the day of judgment I cannot help you. My being a prophet will not help you. Now if the Prophet ﷺ was saying that to his daughter, we find nowadays many erroneous beliefs about the Sayyids, those who are descendants of the Prophet ﷺ. Oh, she's a Sayyid, so she's automatically forgiven. Does that seem fair or even just? Allah says no. لَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. Every man for himself. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ. For them what they have earned and for you what you have earned. Now in our society too we find that certain good people, you know, who really serve Islam a lot, and when they die, their children have automatic followers, like the followers of peers, etc. And what happens is that the original person might have been very good, but his offspring, his descendants, are having a ball of a time in the States and in Europe. And when they come to Pakistan, they hypocritically, you know, act like they're saints or walis or something, and people, their followers, are practically revering them and worshipping them, and calling them Hazrat and Peer Sahib, and treating them with honor and respect. And they're leading dual lives, you know, deceiving people in this country, and when they go back abroad, they revert to their original sinful state. Allah is teaching us, it's not enough that your ancestors are good. That's not going to help you over there. We need to earn deeds for ourselves. Look at the excuse that these people say, everything will be forgiven to us. Because my father was a peer, or my father was a saint, or my grandfather was a saint, oh, I'm automatically forgiven. If the Prophet ﷺ could tell his own daughter that, O daughter of Muhammad, I cannot help you in the hereafter. My being a prophet will not help you. Then that teaches us the true justice of Islam. And these people have studied what is in the book. Still they turn away. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ? Why aren't you using your brains? Allah doesn't say, why aren't you believing? He says, why aren't you using your intellect? It's only logical that when Allah is telling us again and again in the Quran that do good deeds for yourself, you're not going to be rewarded on the basis of what your ancestors did. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ? Still you're not using your intellect?